Today's scripture comes from Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. Now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they may not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone raises from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
What do you think is going to happen to you when you die?
There's nothing left. Everything is tied with me, with my body.
Do right and you will go to heaven. Do bad and you'll go to hell.
I'll probably go to hell.
Why do you say that?
Because I haven't got my life together. So that's why.
So you believe in heaven and hell then?
Yes, I do.
And what are your beliefs? What do you think is going to happen to you when you die?
I'm going to try my best to make it to heaven. I'm going to try to get my life right before I die.
Man, I got no idea.
I probably go to the afterworld or something, somewhere. Which is a very happy place. If I do behave well now, you know what I mean? Yeah.
My brain will stop functioning, my heart will stop beating, and I will decompose like any other animal there is. And everything about me is physical, so when I die, I'm gonna die like any other physical animal.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to hell, because I'm an alcoholic and do a lot of crazy stuff, you know? So I'm going to hell, pretty much. I'll be lucky if I go to heaven, but I don't think it's gonna happen unless I change my behavior, you know? But I don't see that happening.
When I die, I'm going to heaven.
And what about you? What's going to happen to you when you die?
Well, when I die, I'll be going to heaven because I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, so I'll be going to heaven when I die.
My physical body will no longer exist, but my spirit will still exist.
Exist in what way?
Some kind of unseen presence.
So there's like a bunch of unseen presences
going
around?
Oh, yeah, I talk to dead people all the time. Really? Yeah. I feel like they're up there, like my sister. I talk to her all the time, and relatives who have deceased. Yeah.
Don't care.
Why don't you care?
I'm atheist. I don't care.
So, being atheist, what do you think is going to happen to you when you die?
I don't know yet, but I don't care.
I don't know. I try not to think about it.
I don't know really. I don't know.
Any of those questions sound familiar? Any of those responses sound familiar? For those of you that haven't been with us the past several weeks, today I begin a three-part sermon series on a subject that comes to all of us eventually, and that, of course, is death. The Bible tells us in Hebrew chapters 9 that it's appointed once for man to die, and then the judgment. And as a pastor, I deal with death and dying with the ministry with the dying much, much more than I want to. But I know also that death is a part of life, and death is a reality of life, and it is coming to all of us eventually. I've set a couple of goals in this sermon series over the next three Sundays, and those goals are that I'd like to help us see that we can live and die with hope as Christians. That Christians should not fear death any more than they should fear falling asleep in their beds at night. And that death does not have the final word. Who does? God, of course. I believe that our faith in Jesus Christ and our hope in the resurrection can help us face death, our own and that of our loved ones. And that's why I've entitled this sermon series, Living and Dying with Hope. Let me just share up front that I am sharing with you my understanding of these things after 17 going on 18 years of pastoral ministry, but also the teachings of pastors that I have a great deal of respect for, like Pastor Adam Hamilton and other pastors, Dr. David Jeremiah, that I've listened to, some of you have listened to, and other pastors, Dr. Charles Stanley, but also, more importantly, what the scriptures, what the Bible teaches us about death and the afterlife. Let me also say that even though the Bible doesn't give us crystal clear picture of these things, it does give us glimpses as to what the afterlife, what the life after this one is like, where we go when we die, and where our hope lies. The first thing we need to understand is what the biblical understanding, the people of the Bible, what they understood about heaven, about hell, about earth, death, and the afterlife. And it's interesting that the Old Testament doesn't really say a whole lot about the afterlife at all. But we do get a picture of what the various realms look like from the scriptures. For example, life on earth was thought to be the realm of the living, the here and now. I've given you a graphic of a biblical, an ancient biblical understanding of the various realms. Life on earth is thought to be the realm of the living, the here and now, what we would consider the here and now, the living. God, however, is in the heavens, or what the biblical people refer to as the realm of God or heaven, somewhere beyond this earthly existence. Then in several places throughout the Old Testament, the realm of the dead is referred to as Sheol. Sheol is the general realm of the dead. When the dead die, they go to Sheol. Now, the New Testament refers to this as Hades, but for our purposes today, we're just going to simply refer to it as Sheol, the place of the dead. Now, the Jewish belief was that upon their death, people were basically divided into two categories, the righteous and the unrighteous. That is, you either believed in God, trusted in God, or you didn't. You were either a person of faith, or no faith in God at all. You see here in this graphic, within the realm of the dead, or Sheol, there exist two other realms, paradise and Gehenna, all part of the realm of the dead. The name Gehenna, by the way, was actually a real place. It was a place outside the city where they burned trash. So those of you that have lived around Lewis, and I know we had one in Subbyville, remember the dump? Remember where everybody took their trash and just heaved it into piles, and there was constantly burning and of trash? Well, this would be the same in the cities of the Holy Land, a place they called Gehenna. It was a place of fire and smoke and stench and refuse. And this became the metaphor for Gehenna, what we might refer to as hell, or the place of insufferable torment and separation from God. Paradise, on the other hand, was part of the realm of the dead, also known as the bosom of Abraham. The bosom of Abraham. What do you think of when you think of paradise? Flowing streams, lush gardens, beautiful flowers, In ancient times, the kings were the only ones that could afford to have these beautiful gardens in their homes or in their castles or whatever. They would remind the people of the Garden of Eden. You can imagine the Garden of Eden looking something like that, can't you? Beautiful, green, lush, warm, inviting. Needless to say, it was the most beautiful, peaceful, tranquil, pleasant place you could ever imagine. That is what paradise might look like. Okay, you heard the people answer the questions. What happens to you when you die? Ever wonder about that? We all have. We all have. Well, according to the Bible, our souls go to the realm of the dead, in one of two places within the realm of the dead. Paradise, or what we might refer to as heaven, the place of the righteous, those who have trusted in God, those who believe in God. But there's also, if there's a heaven, there has to be a hell, or Gehenna, or the place of the unrighteous, within the realm of Sheol, the place of the dead. Regardless, paradise was a place of peace. Gehenna is a place of torment. Paradise is the presence of God, being in the presence of God, Jesus, as opposed to total separation from God. I think our best illustration of this comes from Jesus himself, when he gave us the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. He told his disciples this parable to help them understand that there were two realms, two places that a great chasm has been fixed between. This is a classic picture I pulled off of Google to kind of illustrate where the rich man is and where the poor man went. You see, the rich man had all that he needed. He lived a sumptuous life. He had all good things at his disposal, and yet the poor man lay at his doorstep every day, begging for food, with nothing. He was so poor and so weak that the sores on his body oozed, and the dogs would come and lick the sores on his body. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, that both men die. Both men die. The rich man goes to that place of torment, to Hades, as it's called in the New Testament. The poor man goes to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man, being in torment, cries out to Father Abraham, "Father Abraham, tell Lazarus to dip his finger in water to cool my tongue, for it is hot down here." It is hot here. And Abraham says, "I'm sorry, but a great chasm has been fixed between here, us, and you, that no one can cross." And so the rich man calls out and says, "Well, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my five brothers, because they're going to hell too if they don't hear about this." And Abraham says, "Well, they've got Moses and the prophets. If they don't listen to them, they're not going to listen to someone, even if they're raised from the dead." Suffice it to say that when we die, our spirits go to be in one of two places. Remember, we are not just physical beings, we are also spiritual beings. Now, folks, I could stand here and talk about hell and talk about judgment and talk about those that, you know, are internal torment and all of that, but I'm going to save that for another time. I'd rather talk about the possibility of paradise. I would rather talk about that place that is promised to those who believe or have hope of resurrection. What does the Bible say about paradise, this place, this bosom of Abraham place? Well, remember the two thieves that were hanging with Jesus on the crosses and the day of Jesus' crucifixion. One thief was cursing. He was hurling insults, the Bible says, at Jesus and at everybody around them. He was a nasty dude. And yet the other thief, somehow in his dying moments, realized who Jesus was. He was also a scoundrel. He was also a criminal, a thief, whatever you want to call him. But in his last moments of life, in his last breaths hanging there on the cross with Jesus, he says to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." In other words, this thief, this scoundrel, this hardened criminal was trusting not in his own righteousness, because there was no righteousness in this man, until he realized who Jesus was, until he met Jesus. He most assuredly didn't live a righteous life. He most assuredly was not a baptized follower of Jesus. And yet in his dying moments, at the point he was about to meet his Maker, what does Jesus do? He extends grace. Unconditional, unmerited, unearned love to this man who reached out to Jesus in his last moments. Why? Because he trusted in Jesus' righteousness and not his own. For Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise." Okay, what about the resurrection? We talk a lot about resurrection here in the church, especially around Easter, especially, throughout the year, really, because we are people of the resurrection. Christians believe that Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of God. Can I get an amen? That's what makes our faith unique, that God raised Jesus from the grave. We believe that we too will be raised just as Jesus was raised from the dead. But someone might ask, well, when is that? When is that? When we die? No. Is it sometime in the future? Yes. When? When Jesus comes back. The second coming of Christ. When Jesus promises to come in all his glory from the heavens, he will descend from the heavens just as he ascended into the heavens. The Bible tells us that those who are in the grave at the time, those who are dead in Christ, the righteous who are dead in Christ, will be raised from their graves, and the living who are living at the time of Jesus' coming, which could be tomorrow or it could be in 1,000 years, the living who are alive at the time will be meet Jesus in the air with the dead in Christ and begin God's full reign on the earth as it is in heaven. Another question that people ask me are, can my loved ones see me? Do my loved ones watch over me? Can she hear me? Can he hear me? Can I talk to her? Do they hear me when I talk to them? I have been asked those questions many, many, many times. And I got to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know if we can, if they can hear us or not. The Bible doesn't really talk about this. But what I can give you is my opinion, what I think. I mean, when you really stop and think about it, now think about this. Do you really want your deceased loved ones watching over you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Do you really want them to see you taking a shower, your grandparents or your parents or your aunts and uncles, your deceased loved ones? Do you want to see them? Do you want them seeing you scrubbing the toilet on Saturday morning or whatever? Do you really want them to be there in that romantic evening with your spouse? Really? Don't you think they've got better things to do in paradise than watch over you 24 hours a day? And what about them? What are they doing in paradise? Well, according to the book of Revelation that we studied recently, the faithful dead are there as that great multitude standing around the throne of God, praising God with the heavenly host. They got better things to do than watch you scrub the toilet. But there are times, I think there are times when God says to them, "Hey, come over here. I want you to see this. Come here." Maybe it's the wedding of a daughter or the baptism of a grandchild. Maybe it's the graduation of a nephew or a niece from college. Maybe it's something really, really special that God wants them to see for themselves from afar. And what about funerals? Do our deceased loved ones whose corpses are laying there in the casket and we know their spirit is gone, do our loved ones at a funeral hear what we say about them in their eulogy? I don't know. But I also think that God says sometimes, hey, come here. You got to hear this. Come and hear what all these folks are saying about you. Come on over here. Frankly, I hope there are such moments like this when I die. I also hope they'll find something good to say about me when I die. I just hope somebody shows up to my funeral, to be honest with you. Some people have a tough time believing in heaven, as you heard in the Man on the Street video there. Some people have a tough time believing in hell, eternal life, resurrection, and paradise. They say, where's the proof? Where is the proof that they truly exist? How can we be sure? I don't know about you, but I've never talked to anybody that's been there and come back. I'm not talking about near-death experiences. That's not the same thing. I've never talked to anybody that's been to hell and back. I've never talked to anyone that's been to heaven and back. Honestly, do they exist? Am I absolutely sure about anything? No, and neither are you. I can't prove any of these things exist. But what I will tell you is that I believe in God. I believe God's word. I believe in Jesus Christ. And when he taught what he taught, I believe Jesus when he said, God gave his only begotten Son that whosoever should believe in him should never die, but have what? Everlasting life. I believe in Jesus who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I believe in Jesus who said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going ahead of you to prepare that special place. I believe Jesus when he said, I am the resurrection and I am life. Do you believe these things? He asked Mary and Martha at Lazarus' grave. Do you believe these things of Jesus? I not only believe them, I'm counting on them. I'm counting on them. Here's the thing. What we believe about death and dying should change how we live life in the here and now. What we believe about death and dying should directly affect how we live, how we treat one another, how we love one another in this world. I mean, the hope of paradise, the hope of everlasting life, the hope of eternal peace, and ultimately the hope of resurrection should change how we live in this life. Conversely, the possibility of being eternally separated from God and being cast into that lake of fire at the great white throne, the final judgment, should also change how we live our lives here and now. Folks, I cannot possibly share with you everything that I believe and everything that the Scriptures teach us in a 20-minute sermon. Sorry, 25 minutes. Or even three sermons. Let me just say this in conclusion. I want you to be in paradise. I want to see you in heaven. I want to see you there. I want you to know that you know that you know that when your heart stops beating and you draw your last breath, you're going to be immediately in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of God, in paradise. I want you to know the hope of everlasting life and resurrection and peace, and that you'll meet Jesus in the air when he comes back in all of his glory at his second coming. I don't want you to miss the heavenly banquet. You think communion is great here. Wait till you get to the heavenly banquet. Or being in that number of saints praising God around the throne when he ushers in the new creation, the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, when God makes all things new. Let me close with this word of hope. We are talking about salvation here. We're talking about faith that is the basis of salvation. It is faith that calls us to trust in God who holds the answers to the mystery of life after death and the mysteries of life in this life. So much about the afterlife is a mystery, isn't it? And that's why we need faith. Our Methodist Christian tradition teaches us that those who believe will share eternal joy with God in heaven, and those who reject God's love will suffer endless separation from God. It's really as simple as that. Accept or reject. The choice is ours. What about you? It really comes down to that, doesn't it? What about you? Have you put your trust in Jesus as your Savior? Have you accepted God's gift of forgiveness for your sins? If by some chance God called you home tonight, no, I'm starting to sound like a Baptist here now, would you know where you would spend eternity? You know, all we have to do is say yes. Yes to Jesus. Yes to God. Trusting in Jesus' righteousness, not in your own. Not in all that you've done, good works, but in Jesus' righteousness. And when you do, you'll hear the words of Jesus when you take your last breath. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. It's as simple as that. That's our hope, folks. That's the hope we have as people of God, as followers of Jesus Christ, trusting in Jesus' righteousness, not in our own. The question is, are you ready? Are we ready? Today you can be ready. You can be sure, very sure, of your eternal destiny. And I'm going to close with a prayer that I hope will be your prayer today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Lord Jesus, I trust you with my life. I ask you to forgive my sins, which are many. Make me yours. I trust you as my Savior, and I want to follow you as my Lord. I want to serve you. Help me not to be afraid to die. Help me to know your peace that passes all understanding. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. In your name I pray. Amen.